You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
So good morning, Hope Church. I have a very sober message this morning, and I want to begin by asking a very practical question. Is life not what you expected it to be? You had dreams in your circle of life, and it almost seems as if someone has thrown a wrench in it. Disappointment sets in. You don't get the job that you applied for, even though you were more than qualified. Perhaps you don't get the raise that you worked so hard for and proved your worth for. Or maybe you don't get to walk into the house that you longed because somebody else outbid you with an exuberant sum of money. If only life's problems and disappointments would stop there. But that's never the case, is it? Our disappointment goes far deeper than that, because disappointment turns to uncertainty, and uncertainty becomes fear. You know, our pain is so much more. You know, maybe you're the person who's been newly diagnosed with an illness, and it's going to demand all your energy, and it's going to change your life. Perhaps you're that person who, you know, you loved your spouse so much, and they just decide one day that they want to get up and leave. And they leave you with your children, and you're left wondering, how am I going to raise them by myself? Maybe you're that parent who loved and doted on your child, and they were the delight of your eyes, and they end up growing up, and they decide they have nothing to do with you. They don't want what you want. They don't want to be in your home. Maybe you're that person who feels the daily pain of loneliness because people look down on you because of the way God created you. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Your dreams are broken, and it almost seems as if like someone has stolen what is rightfully yours, and you're left to deal with your world spinning out of control, wondering what to make sense of the chaos you've entered into. See, this is the broken world that we live in. It hasn't changed since the fall of humanity. You know, some of you this morning are going through so much suffering that I can't even explain it. There's nothing that I can say to describe what you are feeling. Some of us, you know, while we may be standing on the sidelines, we know people who are trying to do the best they can with the pain that they're experiencing. How do we comfort such people? What words do we give to them to minister to their hurt, to revive their souls? What do we say to them? You know, I would love to tell you that being in ministry, God has given me this supernatural force shield to protect me from all of this. But if I must be very honest before you, I have to tell you that I'm a man of many fears. You know, part of my anxiety is beyond my control. It's physiological. There's nothing that I can do about it. And the other part of it is because of my fallen human nature. But the two, when they come together, make for such a crippling combination. I would love to tell you that every time I'm afraid that I would have a passage of scripture on my lips, when my stomach knots and my legs feel weak and I'm overwhelmed with bad news, that I could recite those passages of scripture and everything will be okay. But I can't tell you that, because the truth is I panic. And there have been days in the past when the news was so overwhelming that I've actually even passed out. Of the 365 times that God has spoken to us and even spoken to me and said, "Do not be afraid," I find reason to be afraid. Fear weakens my faith. It dulls my mind to the truth of God's word. It cripples me emotionally. And I know some of you can relate with what I'm saying this morning. But this is the reality of being human in a broken world. See, we are fallen creatures, and we are experiencing the brokenness and the curse of God of this fallen world. And everything of our pain and suffering is the byproduct of that. I'd love to tell you that there's going to be people in this world who are not going to be touched by it, but suffering, while it comes in many forms, will not leave any one of us untouched. But the scripture that we are going to read this morning calls us to rejoice. I say this to your comfort and to my comfort because the God whom we have come to receive comfort has understood and experienced our brokenness. See, who better to comfort us than the one who needed to be comforted the most and yet never received it? This is Jesus Christ. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. If you do not have a Bible, please receive one from the ushers, but read with me what the scripture says from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus Christ, likewise took of the same things, and through death he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered, when tempted, he is able to help those who are suffering. Here are three things that we must consider from this text this morning. The first thing that we must consider is this. I must remember that God's provision for my suffering is Jesus Christ. Loved ones, our suffering can take many forms, but let's understand and be realistic. The ultimate suffering that has ever been brought against us is to be eternally separated from the living God. To be dead to God is to ultimately suffer as a human being. I tell you, if everything that you have enjoyed of this world, the love, the light, the touch, the senses, everything that you delight in, you must realize it comes from the living and good God. And to not have that is to suffer. Imagine a life, an eternity without love, without all the things that you appreciate in this world. Imagine a world, a life, an eternity, a hopeless abyss. See, when I suffer in my anxiety, the one thing, the only thing that my heart longs for is to find relief, that God would be so gracious and merciful to me, even though I know what that relief looks like, and it may seem outside of my reaches. I hope and pray that God in his grace would send that comfort into my life at some point in the future. But I tell you, loved ones, there is coming a time when in eternity that men will seek to find relief for their distress and they will not receive it. That is torment. That is hell. Of the 365 times that God declares to us in Scripture, do not be afraid. There is only at one time and one place or one point in time that he keeps saying, there's one thing you must fear, and that is him alone. The Lord is the only one you are to regard as holy. He is the only one you are to fear. He is the only one you are to dread. And why is he saying this? Why does God keep saying this? Look with me at Psalm 49. This is what the psalmist says, verse 7. Truly, no one can ransom another or give to God the price for his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. See, only God says, fear me because I am the only one who can deliver you from death. But let me tell you, the passage of Scripture this morning is declaring to us that God became the man in Jesus Christ, and only He is worthy to do what the psalmist is saying is impossible. That is to rescue us from death, to give to us life, to give to God the ransom for our life. Only He is able to do this. See, Christ took hold of our humanity to make and render the power of the devil impotent. See, Christ came to enslave the one who enslaved us. Christ came to instill fear in the one who made our life a living hell with the fear of death. See, Christ came to declare to us, be encouraged and come to Him for deliverance, because He alone is the only one that we are to fear this morning. The Apostle Paul, writing in a prison cell, rightfully said this: I take hold of Christ. I strive to take hold of Christ, for which Christ took hold of me. See, Christ took hold of our humanity so that in our trials, in our brokenness, that we can take hold of Him, the only God who has life and who is sufficient to give us the resurrection power to endure and to persevere and to overcome. This is what we are being commanded to do, loved ones, when we go through these trials. See, there is going to come a point in our life where there is going to be no one available to comfort us in the pain that we're going to walk through. No loved one, no spouse, no friend, no counselor is going to be able to understand the pain and perhaps the misery that you are going through. But I tell you, Jesus Christ can. Only He will be able to walk with you in that valley. Only the Lord in His love can understand your brokenness, the depth of it, the need of comfort. And the very thing that we all look for in those moments is to have peace. He alone is the only person who's going to be able to give that to us. This morning, do you believe that the solution for your suffering and pain is Jesus Christ? That is why the Scripture is telling, you know, Christ did this. The second thing that we must consider from the text is this: I must remember that God's grace comes through my suffering. Of all the infinite ways that a holy and wise God can choose to deliver humanity from its fallen condition, God in His grace decides to rescue us by becoming one like us in every single way. Here is somebody who can understand the very things that we are going through and feel the very things that we feel. Since we suffered slavery and fear, God in His grace comes to rescue us. See, He's not a God who is standing afar and distant and saying, I'm separated from you. I am eternal. I am all powerful. No, here is a God who's saying, in my humility and yes, in my power, I will enter into your suffering and I will destroy it. I will enter into your helplessness and I will overcome it. This is our God who comes to us in our helpless condition. See, the Scripture is telling us that because the children share in flesh and blood, that He also took of flesh and blood. God became human because we are human. God has become flesh and blood because we are flesh and blood. Because we die, He too died. It is because that we have limits that the God who has absolutely no limits in humility takes on limits. See, this is Jesus, the Son of God, who suffers. He has tasted what it is like to feel hunger, to feel thirst, to feel abandoned, to feel the emotional barrage that you and I face of the daily pressures of life. This is a God who has tasted our sorrows, our anguish, and yes, even tasted the death that we have to die. Here is a God who comes to meet us in our lowly condition. See, we're not running after Him. He is coming to us. Jesus is the God who has suffered for us. See, there have been days when the trials that I have walked through, I have cried out to God and pleaded for mercy. I have begged God, please, this trial is so overwhelming, take it from me. And like some of you, I too have gone into the courtroom of God and I have demanded, why me, God? Why is it my family that has to go through this? And God, in his goodness and his love, tells me again and again, Joyson, you will not know me as a God who is an ever-present help in trouble if you never face trouble. You will not know me as a God who is your deliverer if you have nothing to be delivered from. You, Joyson, will not know that I am the God of all comfort if you have nothing to be comforted of. My suffering becomes the mean by which God, in his goodness, is coming to reveal his nature. He is coming to make the truth of who he proclaimed to be so real. He is coming to give to me the very thing that I need, his loving grace. And so I encourage you, loved ones, this morning, if you are having those moments of doubts, know that this is God who's asking you to come into his presence. Are you broken before him this morning? Then go to the throne of grace. Do not wait. Do not stand in anger and pain and saying, where is my God? No, go to the throne of grace, because there God is waiting to comfort you and to give you what only you can receive. Meet with your God this morning because he cares for you. Be real with him about your dilemma. Don't hold back. You know, don't be having all your words put together so that you eloquently tell God what needs to be said. No, be real with him. He already knows what's in your heart. Tell him that this is way too much for you. Tell him that you can't do this alone. Tell him that this is not what you expected of life to be. But know one thing, loved ones. Know one thing. The person of Jesus Christ whom you speak to has endured far more than anything you and I will ever endure. He has suffered extensively and infinitely more than we can ever suffer. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but if you stop and you listen and think about that, know that he has done this for you and me. It will comfort you. See, the passage of scripture this morning, it makes reference to words like children and brother and offspring. And what that it's this passage of scripture is really saying is it's pointing to a unique relationship with God. There is a legally binding understanding that God, in his own authority and his own nature, has set, and he's declared that only those who are in a covenant relationship with him have this privilege and right to call him Father. But here's what's interesting about the text. See, the covenant maker and the covenant are the same person. It's Jesus Christ. See, the high priest in the Old Testament, when he pleaded the mercy of God for himself and for his people, he would enter into the holies of holy, the third room, sacred room, where the Ark of the Covenant existed and the mercy seat of God was there. And he would sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats in the hopes that God would forgive the sins of his people. But let me tell you, that was not a permanent solution, because the blood of the blood of a bull and a goat is not going to be sufficient to pay for the marred image of God in a human being. The blood payment had to be of equal weight and worth. It had to be a human being's blood that needed to be spilled. And therefore, Jesus, as the man and as our high priest, goes into the very sanctuary of the eternal living God. And he doesn't go with bulls and goats' blood. He goes with empty hands, and he goes before the Father and he says, Father, would you give forth mercy to your people and receive my life as a ransom? This is the high priest whom we have for ourselves. This is the high priest whom we have for us. See, this is the third point that we need to remember this morning. I must remember that Jesus petitions God for my life. I must remember that Jesus petitions God for my life. See, Jesus' blood ushers in God's forgiveness for us. There is, this mercy of God is never going to end. There is no expiration date. There is no best before on this mercy that God offers. It is available to every one of us who has faith and is willing to go to God. See, this is the mercy of God that saves us in our weakness. God's satisfaction and his paid in full rubber stamp for our sins was only possible because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. See, here is the faithful Son of God who lived a life without sin, perfect in every way. And that is why Scripture says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sins." That is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. See, God's mercy has come to us because of Jesus' faithfulness. No man could stand before the presence of God with his head held high, but Jesus could. See, the only person who deserved to be blessed for a perfect life was cursed. And that's where Scripture is commanding us today. You know the rights that you and I have. God, because of Jesus Christ, has opened a new way to enter into the sanctuary of the very living presence of God. And he's commanding us, don't wait outside. Go in. Press into the throne room of God and have your rightful place before his presence and ask him for mercy. Pray. Is life unfair to you? Yes, it was unfair for Jesus Christ. See, we're not called only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. See, Jesus said, in this life we will have many trials, but cheer up. I've overcome the world. This is what blows me away. Jesus intentionally chose the unfair life to bring God's blessing to us. He willingly took what he did not deserve for us because of that, the blessing that brings us near, not just as restored creatures, but people who have the very right to call God Father. This is why Jesus did it. See, it is the petition of Jesus Christ that allows us to call God Father. It's the petition of Jesus Christ that has opened a new way for us into the throne room of God to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. It's the petition of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins. See, when we're waiting on God, do so with much prayer and thanksgiving as you remember these things which Jesus Christ has done for you and me. I know when you're waiting, the trial just seems to never go away. The pain seems so surmountable. It doesn't feel like it's even something that you want to do. But train your mind, as God keeps reminding me again and again, when my anxiety is overwhelming, the only thing that can calm my heart apart from the comfort that I'm looking for is the very word of God that says, do not be afraid. If you want to fear something, fear me, because I will be your deliverance. This is what God is saying. He has done all these for us. Will he not do what we are asking him right now in this moment to help us? Loved ones, go to him who longs to show you compassion and steadfast love. See, in closing, I want to say, read for you what the psalmist says in Psalm 71, verse 20 and 21. See, he says this, and this is so true for many people. Not everybody will walk through this, but For the few who have been chosen to do this, hear what God says. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. See, this is the hope that God is giving to you. Please, loved ones, know that there is going to come a time when your trials will end, when your suffering will cease, when you look back, you will think that this was nothing, because the comfort that you're going to receive from God is going to outweigh everything. It's going to overwhelm you. It is only going to lead you to a place of worship. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, God, I am so much stronger than if I had not gone through this season of trial. I can stand and be an act and a person of grace and ministry for someone else who is going through this pain. I will use this, oh God, what you have taught me, to be a blessing for someone else. This is what God is doing for us, loved ones. He is strengthening you because he loves you. He is going to help you because he cares for you. Would you turn your heart to him? Do not stay away. Do not let the pain and the anguish and the loss keep you from coming to the very God who knows exactly what you are feeling, who has endured far more and is willing to walk with you to strengthen you. Come to him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we plead with you, even as our hearts are weak. You are the God who strengthens our hearts. You are the God who shows mercy. You delight to show compassion. You are a God who loves those who fear you, because you are a God who is faithful. You will not put us to shame when we call to you. You answer from your throne, O God, and you give to us the good things of who you are. Your very self, your very presence, your very power, your very nature, your grace, which abounds because of the righteousness that has come in Jesus Christ. This morning we pray, Father, for the many who are suffering, for the many who do not know when their trial is going to come to an end, for the many who look for the peace which only you can provide, would you be so gracious to give to them your very self, the peace which surpasses all understanding, to help us so that we may stand firm in faith. We pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen.